Who is it?
Hello, Harold. It's me.
Billy! Well, all right then.
Here's the scoop. I'm going to need you over at the halfway house in a few minutes. Is that going to be a problem?
No, not really, but I won't have time to find any help if I need it.
I got a guy on the other side of town, Gypsy Nick. He's going to be helping you out long distance.
Gypsy Nick? Is that little punk you brought over to that party that one time?
No. Nick's a big guy. You never met him. He's going to handle things cross town while you're at the halfway house.
All right. Sure. So what's the scoop here? I should get moving?
Yeah, well, it seems those jerks over at the halfway house are running some kind of double cross. Larry dropped off half a kilogram of radioactive blue, and they just thought
hey, is this a secure line?
What are you? Of course this is a secure line, you enormous moron. You think I'm standing at a payphone or something?
How did you swing that from a hotel in Montana, pig boy?
Don't ask me how it's done, Harold. Your brain is too small.
Spare me.
I'm serious, Harold. You seem to have one of the smallest brains I've ever encountered. Not that that's an impediment to your work, God bless you.
Get on with it, pig boy.
Well, anyway, those jerks over at the halfway house got half a kilogram of radioactive blue from Larry, ostensibly for the express purpose of holding it in their vault. And then they thought they could get away with sampling it. Just a few little snorts before they locked it up. Right, you don't just toot this stuff without proper indoctrination. Now all of a sudden they're completely stark-raving loony and they aren't going to give it back because they say they have a vested interest in making sure the blue gets spread far and wide, as though these gigantic twits can just start snorting whenever they feel like it and get the whole message. I swear, Harold, it's enough to make a sane man want to scrape his eyelids off with a cheese grater.
Don't I know it.
So I want you to go over there in approximately 9 minutes and 23 seconds and get the blue back.
And then what?
We're going to move it across town. Gypsy Nick's got a place.
What a mess. And this is all Larry's fault?
Yeah, I think he's screwing about half a dozen people over there.
Man, I used to really like that guy. He sure knew how to bowl, I'll tell you what. Listen, when I'm done at the halfway house, you want me to take care of Larry for you?
No, Gypsy Nick's going to deal with Larry. Don't you worry about that. Just get a move on. I want to get as much of the blue back as possible. Oh, and Harold, why did you give my number to Molly? The next time she calls me in the middle of the night, I'm going to have you both killed.
Price you pay, my man, for keeping such company. Anyways, I'm out of here. Call you later.
Hello?
Larry, buddy, it's me, your old pal, Billy. Billy the Kid, young William Whippersnapper.
Billy, it's you.
Yeah, you got that right. How's it going, Harry Larry? Lawrence Welk of Arabia, how the hell are you?
All things considered, I guess I'm doing, you know, I'm okay. I mean, I'm not dead yet, right?
Listen, Larry, let me make something completely, thoroughly clear to you. I am a generous man, completely, thoroughly gregarious by anybody's standards. I've got a gentle nature is what I'm trying to say.
I know.
Don't interrupt me, you tremendous pile of sewage. I got precisely one thing to say about your so-called bright idea to store my radioactive blue at the halfway house. You're a dead man, Larry. A stinking dead man.
Now, wait a minute, Billy. It's not as bad as it seems. I mean, you're in what, Colorado somewhere? I'm sure you're hearing all kinds of stories, but it's me, Billy. It's Larry. There's nothing to fret about.
Please don't whine, Larry. It's nothing personal. It's just business. Nothing personal at all, except for the fact that I hate your stinking guts, Larry. And did I mention you're a dead man?
Oh, no. Come on, Billy.
It's true, Larry. You're going to turn around one day and realize, Jesus H. Christ, Billy was right. I am a dead man. And you're going to pull that knife out of your stinking back, and you're going to collapse.
I don't think violence is the answer, Billy.
Don't interrupt me, you enormous puddle of liquid feces. I have exactly no patience for your jackass friends at the halfway house. That's for goddamn sure. And I have even less patience for the jackass who somehow, miraculously, amazingly managed to convince me that they could be trusted.
Billy, please, it's not what it looks like. It's something else entirely. Listen to me, Billy, something else entirely, something other than what it is. I mean, it's no big deal. Really, it isn't.
Larry, God damn it, I said don't whine. Listen, Larry, I have known you since I don't know how long, and in all this time you have been a great friend, a talented employee, a guy who can be counted on when the chips are down and your back's against the wall. So what is this crap with these pissant fools snorting my radioactive blue and making you look like King Chump of the universe?
It's a simple story, Billy. Just a misunderstanding is all. I mean, in terms of half a kilogram of material, we're not talking about all that much, really. It's a matter of perspective, Billy, which which you and I both know is not Harold's strong suit.
Larry, hold on a sec. One of my other lines is ringing. Hello?
Did you order room service a while ago?
Yeah, in fact, I did. Is it coming or what?
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but we seem to have encountered a slight problem.
What kind of problem? Look, I ordered tuna. It comes in a can. You put it on bread. What the hell's the problem?
Well, the problem is the tuna, sir. It's green, and I didn't think I should bring it up.
Okay, screw it. Change my order, homeboy. You make PB&J?
That would be, peanut butter and jelly, right?
Yeah, bring up 2 PB&Js, 4 Coca-Colas, and goddammit, don't forget my spoon. Sorry, Larry, you just gotta be firm with these people. Anyway, if you've got some kind of explanation you'd like to offer, I guess now's your chance.
Look, all I'm saying is we're not talking about all that much, Billy, and I don't like having the finger pointed at me when it was Ned. You know Ned. Remember Ned? Ned's the guy who got in there to begin with. We all trusted Ned, even me, right? I mean, we all did.
So you're saying it's all Ned's fault? I don't think so, Larry. I think if you decide to go stepping out with Ned's girlfriend, knowing that Ned's holding half a kilo of my radioactive blue, Larry, then it's pretty much all your fault. Now Ned's had his nose in the blue, Larry, and now he and his whole stinking dirtbag family have gone nuts. Now he thinks he's got all these big, big ideas. Ned was never meant to have big ideas on the blue, Larry. Nobody is supposed to have a taste of the blue, Larry, until I'm good and goddamn ready to foist it upon the world, dig? We have to make sure the proper literature is in place. We have to make sure people are ready. And now we are going to have to burn the entire halfway house to the ground, Larry, and it is most certainly all your fault.
Wait a minute, Billy. People live there. People live there, Billy.
No, you will not have time to call the girl, Larry.
Oh, why not? Come on, I gotta call her.
The reason you will not have time to call her, Larry, is because if I'm not mistaken, Gypsy Nick is outside the front door of your apartment, and chances are good he's got a big knife in his jacket.
No, Billy, no, come on.
Larry, don't scream in my ear again or I'll kill you myself. This way, like I said, it's nothing personal. So do us all a favor, Larry. I'm gonna hang up, you get out of bed, go let Gypsy Nick in, and say your prayers, all right?
Billy, please, come on, for God's sake. It's me here. It's Larry. It's me, Larry.
Okay there, pal. Sorry it turned out this way, but you don't screw around with radioactive blue.
Yeah.
Nick, it's Billy. Larry's in his bed wetting his pants right now. You're across the street, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a clear shot through his bedroom window?
Yeah.
All right. Later. Hello?
Hi there, Billy. It's me.
Mom? How the hell did you get this number?
I just talked to Molly. You leave her behind when you go out?
Yeah, Molly stays at home. I travel alone.
That's got to be hard on your relationship, Billy. What do you do that for?
Well, because that's the nature of my work, Ma. How are you, anyway?
Pretty much the same. Pretty much the same. Your sister's over at the nursing home. I work all day, spend all night at the home. It's a good thing your sister's here. I don't know what I'd do. Tommy doesn't call any more than you do. Did you ever quit smoking?
Oh, yeah, I sure did. I quit almost a year ago. That was the last thing Dad said to me before they put the tube in his throat. Quit smoking, boy, do it now. So is he, Well, I mean, naturally there's no improvement, but, how's his mood?
He's pretty afraid of dying alone. We have to have someone here all the time.
Right. Did the flowers I sent to the hospital show up?
Oh, yeah. Those are beautiful. They sure livened up the room. They're sitting on top of the TV right now, so we can see them all the time.
Good.
How's Molly these days?
Molly's fine.
How are you getting along?
We're getting along fine. I mean, we're getting along just like we always do. We're getting along.
I know you just love it when I ask you this, but when are you planning on marrying her, Billy? It's already probably too late for your father to see such a thing.
I don't know, Ma. Marriage is such a thingy. I mean, hell.
What do you mean, a thingy? Your father and I didn't have a thingy for the last 32 years.
I know, Ma, and you and Dad are paragons of what a good marriage can be, but see, as you know...
If I don't live to see you get married...
Ma, listen to me. You are definitely going to live to see me get married, all right?
You can say that to me, but can you say that to Molly? She sounds like she needs to hear it. You travel too much, Billy. You're going to break both of our hearts. You wouldn't want to do that, would you?
No, I know how much it means to you. Molly's an incredible woman, Ma. She'd be a cool daughter-in-law, wouldn't she?
I think she would. I'm sorry if I'm nagging you. I need something else to think about besides...
Well, one of these days I'll get it together. Don't you worry. I'll have to, just to survive.
Having all kinds of big thoughts now, I see.
No, I don't have any big thoughts, Ma. I don't have time to think, right? But I think I'm onto something big. You won't have to worry about anything. You'll get the best money can buy.
I don't care about money, Billy. I never have. It hasn't helped your father.
I know you don't care about money, Ma, but this is more than just money, okay? It's like politics and religion and money and love and evil and good all put into a pill. When the time is right, Ma, when the time is right, I think I'm going to change things. At least for a little while.
Well, I could use a change.